I want to share a truth with you this morning and from the Word of God, Luke chapter number 12. I want to read quite a few verses, but it's important that I read these verses to help you get the sense of what's going on, beginning with verse number 1 in Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. And he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and afterward have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you to you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I say unto you, whoso shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogue and to magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how you or what ye shall answer for what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye shall say. Now, notice the awesome commentary of what he's talked about here. He's just gone through and he's talked about the leaven of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. He's talked about our accountability for our words and our thought. He talked about God's a God of all knowledge. He knows the very hairs of your head, knows everything. You'll have to be accountable to him, that he has power not only to take physical life, but then once the physical life is gone, to be for him to cast somebody into hell. He talked about that great sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And he talked about persecution, and he talked about how the Holy Spirit of God will enable and help us to do those things. All those great subjects he's talking about. Now watch the next verse. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Does that seem out of context to you? I mean, he's talking about dying and going to hell. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God, talking about God knowing every thought, God hearing in the darkness. He's talked about accountability for words and thoughts and all those things. And somebody said, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you talk to my brother to tell him to give me part of my inheritance, part of the inheritance? He's a Baptist. I promise you he's a Baptist. Spiritual significance. He doesn't have a clue what's going on. He doesn't have a clue what's going on. It kind of reminds me of Brother Eddie Goddard. Pray for Brother Eddie Goddard, too, in his cancer surgery. Brother Eddie set up when he was pastoring Rainier, West Virginia. Said he had an awesome service. Boy, God just moved. Had one person there that never, I mean, they didn't have a clue. They didn't know when God was, if God ran over, they wouldn't know it. But he said they had such an awesome service one morning. Everybody was weeping. Had 14 people get saved, and God was blessing. And he said he just knew this guy for the first time in any service he'd ever been in. He got in the service, and he sensed God and everything. And he said when they were walking out the door, and everybody was weeping and crying, said, Preacher, I've never been in a service like that. God's so real. God's so real. And that guy came out, and he said, Preacher. He said, he's waiting. Boy, he just knew that God had spoke to this man. He said, Preacher, did you know we had 7 bald-headed men in our service this morning? He missed it. And this guy missed it. He missed it. But while we laugh about him missing it, we do the very same thing. Notice the principle and notice the message that follows after he says that. And he said unto them, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for being able to be in your house. Thank you for the good singing of the congregation, God touching the blessing of our hearts through the choir. Thank you for Brother LaVon, Lord, for the presentation. Thank you for the work of Franklin Graham and Samaritan Purse, not only in the Operation Christmas Child, but God, so many things they do, Lord, to spread the gospel around the world. Thank you, our Father, for the opportunity for all of us to participate in this particular program of sharing the gospel and showing Christian kindness and love to children around the world. I pray, God, that every family will participate and all our boys and girls will get involved to help in this program. And then, Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would speak to our hearts through your word. Help us, our Father, to know and feel the presence of the Holy Ghost this morning. God, I pray you'd speak, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. He's given a lesson here about our lives. He says to this individual here, and he says to all of them present, notice what it says in verse 15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things he possesses. Now, if you mark your Bible, mark that little word life. I want you to mark that little word life. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Now, to illustrate what he wants to say, he gives them a parable. And he says, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully, and he had just abundant crops. Now, there's nothing indicated in here that this man did anything wrong. It's not that he had cheated anybody. He hadn't finagled some way. He didn't do anything corrupt to amass this great wealth. There's nothing wrong with God blessing. As a matter of fact, if he's talking about fruits, which he is, he's talking about crops, which he is, we all understand that God has to give the increase. And so God has blessed him with this great wealth. Nothing wrong with God blessing us, and God does bless, and God does give us bountifully so many things. But now, where is the problem with this story? What is the purpose of this parable? And our Lord has illustrated so well what he's talking about. He noticed this man, first of all, I want you to notice what he said. He said, as he goes through here, and if you will, you take some time and go back and look and notice what he said. And he thought within himself and said, what shall I do? And if you would, circle that little word, I, because I have no room wherein I may bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. Now notice, the whole process is this. The Lord wants us to understand what life is really all about. It's not about things. It's not about possession. Nothing wrong with having possession. He does not condemn this man for having these things. God's blessed him with those things. It has to do with this man. The word covetous has to do with his attitude toward the things. The Bible teaches this principle. We are stewards. Notice how often he used that word I and how often he used the word my. Everything was him, all about him. It was all his. There's not one mention of God in that whole parable. He never acknowledged the fact that God has blessed me and God has given me this. And all that I have belongs to the Lord. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You may have registered down in Smithfield 500 acres in your name, a big house. You may have all of your vehicles listed, your boats listed, motorhomes listed. But the truth of the matter is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It really does not belong to him after all. It belongs to the Lord. Notice this man's attitude. He believes that this all belongs to him. And he's gathered it all by himself. He gives no thought to God. He gives no acknowledgement to God. And then beyond that, he doesn't ever consider if God has entrusted him blessings to be a blessing to somebody else. He's not given any thought to the fact that God would have him to use him as a channel of blessing to help others, to share and to be a blessing and to meet needs of others. Notice what our Lord says a little further on down in this discussion. He talks to his disciples and he says, verse number 21, so he that layeth up treasures is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what, for your body, what you shall put on. And he goes on and he says, life is more than meat and more than raiment. Now skip on down a little bit further as he brings this to an end, and I'll just do it kind of hurriedly this morning. But notice what he says down in verse number 29. And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither what you be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Skip on down, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now skip back up. Look at verse number 33. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fadeth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. He wants them to learn the principle of having and giving. God has given to me and you. He's blessed us so much, and he'd have us to use what he's given us for his glory. This man is talking about the earthly. I had you to mark the little word. Go back up in verse 15, life. He said, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now, when you look down at verse number 19, here's the man in the parable. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, be merry. Now watch. The Lord uses a completely different word. The Greek word is zoe, like zoology. That's what he used, life. It has to do with all the realm of your life, everything about you. And he said, the whole of your life, you are a triune person. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, talks about what we really are as a person, as a redeemed person. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 23, I pray that God will sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Now, Paul says that a man has a spirit, he has a soul, and he has a body. But if you'll notice, this man's orientation, all of his thought has focused on one little area, the soul. And that word, that Greek word is psyche, psychiatrists and all that. It has to do with your emotions, has to do with your mind, it has to do with your earthly presence and earthly mindfulness. Now, your mind and your body work together closely. And when you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and quickens your spirit, you become alive. And then the Spirit of God inside of you, Paul talks about those who are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leads. The Spirit of God affects our mind, which is our soul and our emotions and all those things, and it affects our body. We present our bodies a living sacrifice because of what God's done in our spirit, in our heart. We worship him and we praise him and we love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul because of what he's done in our heart. We worship him that way. But this man's life is totally around what this world has, and it's all about him. It's all about his personality. It's all about meeting his needs. It's all about him. Everything's about him. Notice another flaw in his life. He not only does not talk about God, He's only concerned with the temple, with his body, with those type of things, with his mind, his emotions. He wants to feel good. He wants to feel secure. He wants to have wealth, and he wants to be able to eat, drink, and be merry. Now, the Bible said the Lord came that we might have peace, that we might have joy unspeakable. God does not want you unhappy. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. He wants to fulfill every need of your heart and life. And he said, God knows you need all those things, and he's going to meet them for you. But he said, the thing is, you got to do priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First thing. And the word life that he talks about is all of man's life. He's talking about that this man is focused on one little area of his life and not on the spirit part of his life. I'll show you what he's talking about. Notice what he says in this passage of scripture. When this man says to his soul, that is to his, he's talking to himself. He's talking to his inward part. And he said to his soul, thou hast much goods laid up. Notice this little phrase, for many years. Many years. I don't know how many years. I just had a birthday, you know that. And I'm 67 years old. When I was 20, somebody 67 ought to be in a nursing home. I just felt that way. That's the truth. I just felt somebody 67 years old. It was over with for them. Over with for them. It was gone. But that's just not so. That's just not so. And so he's thinking, boy, he said, I've got enough to last me for many years. But you know how many of those many years, how long they'll last? Just like that. It's like a vapor. It appears and then it's gone. He's planning for now and not for eternity. The spirit man, the spiritual part of man, plans for eternity. Nothing wrong with you being blessed of God. God bless this man. He had a lot. But that was his whole life. That was his whole life. He didn't give God any glory. He had no concern for anybody else. He didn't want to use what God had given him for his glory. And he was just interested in being able to have comfort and have eat, drink, and be merry. That's his whole life. And he missed the whole point. Another flaw in his character, not only did he not acknowledge God, and not only was he just wrapped up in material things and in pleasure and with him being satisfied and happy here. And not only was he just looking in, as a matter of a few years, but there's another flaw. He felt like he controlled his own destiny. He felt like that he had plenty of time. He had amassed this wealth. He could tear down his barns. He could build bigger barns. And he assumed that he also could dictate his death. He was planning to live and had no thought of death. If you'd ask him, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to tear down this barn. I'm going to build a bigger barn. I'm going to do this. Plant more crops next year. Have more production. Go on and on and on and on and on. And, on, and I'll get a new combine and I'll get a new tractor and I'll get all those things. And if you go through and ask him the consequences and the sequence of events, the very last thing he was planning on doing was dying. But I want to tell you this morning that dying may be the next thing that you do and not the last thing that you do. That's what the Lord wanted them to see. He wanted them to see that you need to plan this thing backwards. Set your eternity and live now. Live now in light of eternity. All that God's given you, all that you are, you honor God with it. And understand that you don't own a thing. It could take it all tomorrow. Job learned that lesson. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's in control of it all. And this man's life, his soul was all wrapped up with the now and with those blessings, with no thought of God, no appreciation of God, no concern for anybody else, no preparation for the future so far as eternal things are concerned, and no investment on the other side. Because the Lord said to him, not only do you not have control over your life, but you actually don't have any control over your wealth, over your possessions. Because the second you die, everything you've worked all your life for becomes somebody else's. Whose will it be? Oh, you can put it in your will and go to your family or whoever. But the truth of the matter is it belongs to God. It belongs to God. And he had not invested. And so he had put his treasure in barns here, but he'd invested nothing there. He'd not given, he'd not invested, He'd not shared the gospel. And the Lord said to us and says to us in this place, so is everyone that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And then the Lord said this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever it's at. And he said, you ought to invest in the cause of Christ, in the work of God, in being a blessing to others. Put an investment in their life that they can live for all eternity. I wonder where your life is at. Are you living in that soul life, that life that revolves around your mental capabilities and the physical and your emotions and all those things? Or are you led by the Spirit? Have you been born again? And is your heart set on the things of God? And you understand you have a good balance about things and about possessions. Nothing wrong with having things. Solomon's richest man ever lived. God blessed him. Throughout the Bible, God's people had great treasures. Some didn't, some did. That's not the measure of life. A man's life consists not the abundance of things he possesses. That is your whole of your life. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is whether you're right with God or not. Are you saved? Do you know Him as Savior and Lord? And your attitude then, being a Christian, you recognize that everything you have comes from God. All the blessings you have came from God. And everything that you have in your possession, you're only a steward of. God owns it all. And we honor Him with it. And we glorify Him with it. And we use it for His glory. Now, the crux of the matter is this. What are you going to do about it? What will you do about it? Notice what it says in verse 40 of this same chapter. I'm skip over a little bit. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Not only would it be possible that death would be the next thing that you do instead of what you plan to do, but it could be that Christ would come and we have not done anything for His good, for His glory, for His kingdom. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, you need to do it now. We all agree He's coming soon. He's coming back. I want us to bow our heads together for prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed. Most people gear their life in such a way that death is the last thing that they plan to do. But I reiterate again, it may be the next thing you do. And what about it then? If you were to die right now, if Jesus were to come right now, if you die suddenly, are you going to be in the presence of God, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord? If you've trusted Him as Savior and Lord, that's the case. Let me ask you a question this morning. Has there ever been a time when you personally asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? And if today, if the next thing you do is die, are you ready to meet the Lord? If you know you're saved, would you raise your hand high as a testimony before the Lord this morning? Thank you so much. God bless you. May put your hands down. For those who couldn't raise their hand, let me say this. You know how you get ready? You know how they got ready? There was a point in time in their life when they realized that it's not all about being happy. It's not all about having things. It's not about a retirement program here. It's about an eternal program. It's about trusting Christ. The most important thing you have to do in the next few moments is to decide in your heart if you're going to live forever in a place called heaven or if you had rather spend eternity in hell. The truth of the matter is you make that decision. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call on Him right now, you can be saved. If you'd ask Him to come in your heart, He'd save you right now. I wonder why no one's looking at every head's bow. We had a great host of people raise their hand, testified they were saved. If you're here this morning, you may be a visitor or guest. I want to assure you I'm not going to come to you. Would not embarrass you for anything in the world. But I want to do what I say I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. I'd like to ask and pray right now for boys and girls and men and women who be honest and say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But I sure want to know that. I want to know that before it's too late. And Pastor, would you just pray for me right now? No one's looking but me and the Lord. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody across this building this morning? Anybody here? Wouldn't it be a blessing if everybody in here were to go with the Lord? Wouldn't it be a blessing if everybody in here were saved? Wouldn't it be a great tragedy if when you stood up in just a few moments, the floor would fall out from under you, and if you're not saved, you'd plunge into hell for all eternity? Wouldn't it be a great tragedy? I hope that's not your case. I hope you've been honest with God. I want you to be saved. Let me give you a challenge this morning. The Lord challenged his disciples who'd walked with him at this time, maybe not quite, maybe a little over 2 years. But he said to them, you ought to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You ought to give your life and all that I bless you with, use it for my glory. Invest it in the cause of Christ. I reiterate again, that does not mean he does not want you to have a home. It doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have things. Doesn't mean at all. Their circumstance was a little bit different when he told them to sell everything. He knew what was fixing to happen. It's not wrong for you to have a home. Not wrong for you to have things. But it's wrong if you don't honor God with it. It's wrong if you think it all belongs to you and not belong to him. It's wrong if you don't use what God gives you for his glory. If you don't have a compassion for people, compassion to reach the lost with the gospel and help other people who have need. That's where the problem's at. Beware, he said, of hypocrisy. And beware of covetousness. That's wanting to hoard everything and not be sharing. I wonder this morning if God spoke to your heart. I know our situation's a little differently here this morning with the arrangement for Judgment House. Thank God for it. But right where you are right now, if you don't know Christ, would you pray this simple prayer with me? You didn't raise your hand, but you don't want to die and go to hell. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And would you right now, would you call on him? You might pray a simple prayer, something like this, right where you are. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you bore all my sins on Calvary. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for me. I believe, Lord, that you were buried and rose again. Lord, I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and dying for me and saving me right now. Now, dear friend, if you pray that prayer, I'd sure like to know it before you leave this morning. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you've been kind of half in and half out, not serving God like you ought to. I pray you'll just give your heart and life to him completely. Don't get so caught up in the things of this world. Honor Christ. Recognize that all that you have, God's given you. Express your gratitude for it. Praise him for it. Magnify him. If he's blessed you abundantly with land or homes or anything else, just say, thank God, this is what God's done for me. And use it for his glory. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. Brother Brad's going to sing just a verse of a song. We're not going to be long. Brother Tim's going to come. And we're going to take an offer for our missions team going to the Philippines. But I want you right now for just a few moments just to look to the Lord. Let's trust Christ. If you're not saved, you trust him. If you're a Christian, would you right now pray and ask him, oh, God, use me. Thank you for giving me all you give me. And God, help me to use what you give me for your glory. Our Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Christ, now I pray, God, men and women, boys and girls, do now what they'll be glad that they've done for all eternity. And God, will thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name.